Hi, today's April 25th, 2015, and this is Mobile Views Podcast number 115. And like last week, I'm going to do less of the talking than John Westfall, my good friend who's here with me, because he, unlike me, has an Apple Watch.
And of course, I have a much bigger devotion to tech than you
do. That's right, you do. And I acknowledge your superiority.
I might bring up the memory of smartwatches past for you, though.
Don't. Spot watch. We'll talk about that. I mean, it'd be kind of fun to compare to a 10-year-old watch.
Okay.
But before we get started with John's Apple Watch experience, I wanted to mention something I'm really excited about. That's Google Fi. So Google announced their MVNO, Mobile Virtual Network Operator setup, where they're going to be using Sprint and T-Mobile for 3G, 4G data, and Wi-Fi for everything else, hence the Google Fi part of the name, Wi-Fi. It's going to be pretty interesting because the basic voice service is $20 a month, unlimited voice, unlimited text, international calling, and data starts at $10 per gigabyte. And if you don't use it, so for example, if you have a 2-gigabyte plan, you only use 1.5 gigabytes, you get $5 back. And if you go over, you pay per partial gigabyte. So if you have a 1 gigabyte plan, use 1.1, you'll pay $11 instead of 10. It's pretty reasonable. I can tell you that I have already applied to become a subscriber. I'm going to dump my T-Mobile plan and port my number over to Google Fi if they choose to let me do so. You gotta apply to become a customer. How novel is that? And also, you need a Nexus 6. So if you don't have a Nexus 6, you're out of luck. I am out of luck in that sense. But because of the cost savings, I'm willing to go buy a Nexus 6 in order to become a Google Fi customer. John, what about you? Are you considering Google Fi for any of your phones?
Not really, just because I only have one phone and it's on Verizon. So I'm probably not going to, unless I would have some sort of need for a second phone line. Mm-hmm. If I did have a second phone line need, I would definitely consider it because those prices are very nice. And honestly, Google might not do everything right, but I have a higher opinion of Google than I have of any of the carriers. So I guess they would be one I'd be more apt to give my money to.
Yeah, and in my experience, T-Mobile and Sprint have coverage superiority in different areas. In other words, not identical everywhere. So having both of them, being able to roam off the two networks, is a real plus, where T-Mobile may not have good coverage, Sprint might, mm-hmm. and vice versa. So I'm still a Sprint and T-Mobile customer. So I kind of know where the good spots are and the bad spots aren't. And I think they'll be a good complement to each other. I'm looking forward to using Google Fi in that way. And also Google is going to allow, because it's a Nexus 6, remember, it's only one phone that works in their network. It's a Nexus 6. It'll allow handoffs, so you'll be able to answer calls on your tablet or notebook or whatever. So it'll be kind of neat. It'll be, kind of like what Apple allows you to do only with their ecosystem. But here, I think as long as you're running Chrome, essentially, you'll be able, or Google Hangouts or whatever, you'll be able to take calls off other devices other than your phone. So I'm willing to spend $650 on a Nexus 6 because I'm going to save so much money on the monthlies that basically I'll make it up in a year, mm-hmm. Especially since I was considering switching phones anyway. So
yeah, it is. It's definitely attractive.
Yeah.
It will be interesting to see how it goes. I hope that in the near future you don't have to apply to be a customer.
Well, Google's always been that way, right? Remember when...
Yep.
Gmail came out. I mean, people were paying $1,000 to get the invitation and crazy things like that.
Yes, I still remember when I remember where I was when someone bequeathed on me a Gmail invitation.
And you bowed in their direction.
Right? Changed my life. I still have that account.
Okay, enough of Google Fi. As excited as I am, it is not a service yet available to most of us. I checked my email, kind of obsessively, checking to see if they're actually going to invite me and allow me to be a customer to give them money. So far, not so much. If you go to the website, it knows that I have applied to become a customer. It says, be patient. It's going to take at least a couple of weeks. And then, even then, we're only going to give out a few accounts per area, in my region. They do acknowledge it. My region will be serviced. So I'm just trying to be patient until they allow me to spend $650 to go buy my new phone and hopefully, make that money up over the course of several months or a year. So I'm looking forward to that. Also, I'm looking forward to getting a new phone because my Nexus 4 is getting a little long in a tooth. Okay, now on to the main part of this discussion. Inquiring Minds wants to know, John, which Apple Watch did you buy and how do you like it?
Well, okay, so I purchased the 42-millimeter Apple Watch, which is the stainless steel version, the middle version of the Apple Watch.
Okay, but not cheap,
No, not cheap at all. I also, I got the black sport band, and I also got the Apple Care Plus. So out the door, I was out with tax somewhere in the $700 range for my watch. My wife's watch, because she was interested in getting one, she got the green Apple Sport Edition that was in 38 millimeters, and with also the sport band. And it's interesting, the differences in those two editions. Apple is taking this edition branding very, very seriously. In fact, I was quite surprised when the UPS guy brought my watches, and they were in completely different looking boxes.
No kidding.
No kidding. The Sport Edition ships in a long, thin box that you open up, and it's got kind of a clamshell. Both of them have a clamshell opening, kind of as we see, not a clamshell, but basically one lifts off the other. Mm-hmm. And then there's a plastic insert that has the actual watch in it.
Mm-hmm.
The Sport Edition is long and thin, so you open the plastic, and there it is laying there in front of you, kind of like you would see a necklace or something laid out on that kind of long, thin look. The Apple Watch, the middle edition that I have, comes in a square, rounded, edged box. It is more of a display box. So as you open it, the watch is laying on its side in a little watch pillow. You pull that off. And the packaging otherwise is very similar. It's just one is a little box, a little square box, and the other is a long, thin rectangle. So surprised at that.
Are either of the boxes also doing double duty as part of the charger, or is that completely separate?
That looks to be completely separate.
Okay.
The charger is also different between the two. My charger has a steel look to it, a shiny look to the back of the charger. My wife's has kind of a matte white look to it. However, they both have obscenely long cords. It ships with, I think it's about a 2 meter long cord.
That's good. You know, I hate those short cords.
Yeah, but this is like the kind of cord that you could drape behind a few dressers and, you know, potentially wrap around something, and it is really long. I was quite surprised.
Well, I really appreciate it when vendors ship long cords when I'm in a hotel room, and, you know, I mean, I carry my own power strip, but even then, you know, I need to reach around stuff to, you know, plug it in sometimes, and the short, you know, the 1 meter cords are just not long enough to, you know, safely put things, you know, on a chair or something to charge.
Yeah, so I suspect that's what Apple's rationale is. Plus, the rationale is probably if you're in a hotel room, you'd rather have the watch next to you by your bed, and your iPhone could be charging somewhere else.
Right.
So that was interesting. The other interesting thing, so my wife's sport watch, when you go to order it, it doesn't ask you what size you want, if you want the medium, large, or the small medium band.
Mm-hmm.
It actually ships with both of them.
You have two bands.
You can swap them. Yeah, you get 1.5 bands.
Oh.
You get the one piece is always the same length, but then the other piece is longer. And so she can swap. However, mine, and it looks like all of the Apple Watch versions, the stainless steel, they only ship with one of the two. Mm. So my wife actually got a part that I didn't get because hers was the sport, which I thought was kind of interesting. Let's see. Otherwise, the packaging differences aside, the watches both work exactly the same way.
Sure.
The 38 millimeter is looks very much at home on my wife's wrist. Even my 42 millimeter doesn't look too obscenely large. I know that was a big concern for women out there is, you know, would this thing look like a huge honking computer on my wrist? The 38 looks very natural, and the 42 even doesn't look that bad. In fact, last night we went over to a friend's house and we were taunting her with our Apple Watches. And she was deciding between the 38 and the 42, and ultimately, after we left, she ordered a 38 because we're really good at taunting people. So that's kind of my thoughts on the actual device. The wrist band, the sport band, doesn't look as cheap as I was worried about. It doesn't look like kind of a, you know, I think when we think of a plastic band, we kind of think of those little Livestrong bracelets.
Yep.
And the kind of thick material those are made out of. This is a completely different sort of elastic material. It's not very thick. It's nice and thin. And it doesn't have that kind of rubbery feel to it. It's got kind of a simpler feel to it. And plus, from a distance, it doesn't look cheap. So in a meeting, if you have the sport band on, I don't think if it's a black or a white sport band, people from across the room are going to wonder why you chose that instead of something a little more professional. So that's kind of my thoughts on the hardware. Do you have any hardware questions or thoughts you want me to address?
Yeah, I was wondering about the glass face on the Sport Edition versus the Apple Watch. Now, the Apple Watch uses, does it have the sapphire glass and the Sport Edition doesn't? Or
yeah, the Apple Watch has the sapphire coating. The Sport Edition has what Apple's calling Ion X glass. Mm. That some speculate is just Gorilla Glass rebranded. So if you go watch some of the tests online, you can basically, if you take sandpaper to the Sport Edition, you can scratch it up. The sandpaper won't do a thing to the sapphire.
So there is a difference.
Yes, there's a difference, but not in clarity or anything like that. The two screens
look, but toughness.
Yeah, toughness is really the only thing. Yes. And as someone who is kind of gorilla-like, who bangs their watch against things, I am quite thankful that it's tough. Although I will say this watch fits really nicely on my wrist, better than my Pebble did. It actually, even though it bows out in the back, it feels more continuous. It doesn't have as much wiggle to it. So I like the watch feel better than any watch I've had, with the exception of maybe the original Pebble. The original Pebble had a nice feel to it too. But any of the other smartwatches or non-smartwatches I've had in the last 10 years, I like this feel probably on par with the original Pebble for best.
But inquiring minds want to know, how does it compare to the Sun 2 Spot Watch?
Well, I never was rich enough to have the Sun 2, Todd. You were the one who... I just had the crappy Fossil Spot Watch. And I will say this is more comfortable than the Fossil Spot Watch. And definitely more usable in that I don't think Apple's going to turn off my Surface after a couple years.
One could only hope, right?
Yeah, well,
yeah.
I can start taunting you right now if you'd like. That, you know, I've gotten a lot of notifications today, and you know, I didn't have to worry about an FM radio transmission or
Which, you know, was actually a big problem for me because my home is out of the FM station carrier range, and I had to drive. Once I drive about 5 miles west of my home, I got into range and my watch would update, but when I'm at home, it never updated.
That is very annoying.
Yeah, it was. I thought my watch was broken when I first got it. And so I said, well, let me just see if I drive around somewhere. And so sure enough, I drove around and it picked up a signal about 5 miles from home and it was fine from there. But yeah, that was annoying.
So any other hardware questions before I go address the big question of battery life?
No, that was my big question was the glass. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so battery life is a very interesting thing with the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. I've had mine on for about 11 and a half hours today so far. And if I go look in my usage, so the Apple Watch app does give you, just like for your iPhone, it gives you usage and standby time since your last charge. I've used it 3 hours and 53 minutes. It's been in standby for 11 hours and 59 minutes. And I've gone from 100% down to 40%.
That's very respectable.
It is. And now Carrie, my wife, has not had exactly the same sort of experience. Hers dropped quite a bit faster, and it's probably at around, I'm looking at her right now to get a live reading of where her, she's just handing me her watch, so I'm going to have to try to figure this out. So that means I have to enter in her passcode in little tiny numbers. I'll talk about the passcode in a little bit.
Yep. So while John's doing that, what he explained to me is whenever you take off your watch, you have to type in the passcode to get access to your watch again. So that's what he's referring to.
Yes. However, you can unlock it with just unlocking your iPhone,
okay.
which is very nice. And something that some reviewers, as I noted to you before the podcast, didn't notice. So the reviewer for USA Today complained incessantly yesterday in his day one review about having to enter his passcode 100 times. And then today sheepishly wrote, yeah, I just read where it says as soon as you take it off, you have to enter your passcode.
Right.
And which that's you can disable the passcode completely if you wanted to.
And, you know, that's one of the problems with day one reviews of anything, right? And by anybody, even, you know, even us, is that you just don't know everything about the product on day one unless, you know, you've been one of the beta testers or something like that. So it's one of the problems with reviews. You know, you want to be first out the gate, or a lot of people do because they want to get the, you know, the web hits and whatnot. On the other hand, the best reviews usually come a few days or even weeks after a person has had a really good chance to sit down and play with the you know whatever it is, whether it's software, hardware, a lot, and bang it around and you know tap the you know kick the tires and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's definitely what I think we're seeing with the battery life issue. There's two reasons I think there's a difference in battery life. So mine is down to 40%. My wife's is down to 16%. So hers has had a pretty busy day compared to mine. I think one of the big differences is notifications. I think she's gotten a lot more notifications today than I have.
Yeah.
And I think she's also used it a little bit more than I have. Although when we compare the times a couple hours ago, our usage time was about the same. So it could be just that your notifications, if you get a lot of them, and I might notice this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday when, you know, I'm back at work and I'm getting work level email notifications. If I don't trim those down, I might see the same drop as she saw today. But you can really customize your notifications. By default, it mirrors your notification settings on your iPhone. I've already kind of pared that down over the last few years. I really don't like a lot of notifications, so I've turned off a lot of them. She hasn't, so that could explain it. The other issue that I've noticed in the reviews, and the reason why I think, you know, I'm only down to 39% battery. We dropped a percent in the couple of moments there. I think is because I'm using it a little bit more like daily use today. And that means I'm not really playing with it. I'm getting notifications, but I'm also not, you know, if I have a computer next to me, I'm using the computer, obviously. Or if I'm using my phone, I'm using that.
Right.
Reviewers typically are using their devices a lot because they want something to write about.
Right.
And also, most people, when they get a smartwatch for the first time, play with it quite a bit. I know my wife has been exploring it, I think, a little more than I have.
Right.
So it could just be once you level out into daily use, the battery life is just fine. But if you're going to be playing with it, just like with your iPhone when you first get it, if you play with it every moment of the day for the first couple days, you're going to see horrible battery life.
Right. And I've noticed with the iPhone especially that it takes a couple of power cycles before its actual kind of daily lifespan is stable or, you know, consistent.
Yeah, and that might be the case with this. Just it's too early to tell since I've had it for such a short amount of time.
What do you think about the possibility that the battery is, you know, is physically smaller and has less capacity than the larger Apple Watch you're wearing?
Well, you know, that's a possibility. So the teardown that iFixit did was on the 38mm, and they found a 205mAh battery. I don't know if anyone's torn down the 42mm to see if the battery's larger. It wouldn't surprise me if it was a little larger, but how much? I don't know how much larger it can get. You know, we're only talking a difference of 5mm.
Right.
So it would be interesting. If anything, I can't imagine. It definitely doesn't have the same battery capacity as the Moto 360 or some of the other smartwatches that's in the 300mAh range. So it'll be interesting to see what comes out when someone finally does tear down the 42 and compares it to the 38.
Yeah. Now, what about actually, you know, looking at time on your watch? I know that's a weird thing to do, to actually check the time on your watch, but people might want to do that. So how does that work? The screen is not always on because that would kill the battery. So what do you need to do to check the time?
You need to rotate your wrist towards your eyes. So you can do that either by lifting it kind of in the stereotypical watch mode, or I know if I hold my hand down by my stomach and I just kind of flip my wrist up, it turns on then as well. This does not work when you're laying down. So you're laying down and you have your watch on and you just kind of move it around, it won't detect any motion. You'll have to hit the button or you'll have to tap the screen to turn it on.
So if you are ill and bedridden, your watch is not very good at telling time.
No, you'd have to tap the face. Although you can also turn off the wrist notification as well. So some people might just want to do that to save a little bit of battery.
Yeah.
Now, looking at how fast it turns on, this is going to be a really minor complaint of mine. I wish it was about literally 50 milliseconds faster.
Not 55.
No, not 55. Okay, I mean, 50. I pull it up to my where I can view it, yeah. And I see it turn on. And if all possible, I'd love to have it on before I can actually cognitively go, it's off, oh, look, it's off.
Okay, you want it to be like a refrigerator light. You don't want to know whether it's on or
yes,
off.
It's
on something. When you look at it, and you don't care about it the rest of the time.
Yeah, that's a really minor complaint. It is interesting. You cannot customize the display timeout. Because it's a dynamic timeout. So sometimes it times out really quickly and you go, oh, I wish it was still on. So you tap it or you flick your wrist again. Other times it seems to stay on for a really long time.
But that's very Apple-like, right? I mean, they decide what's best for you. And, you know, you really, you know, as kind of an ignorant monkey type person, you can't figure out what's good for you. So they will do it for you.
Well, you can speak for yourself, Todd. But, I get your point. And it is, but otherwise, it's actually fairly customizable. There are some things in it that I thought Apple was not going to be quote unquote cool with you doing. Uh-huh. So things like putting a monogram as a complication or just some of the mirroring settings, being able to unhook some of those. So, for example, you can choose if you want when you put your watch into airplane mode, if it should also put your phone into airplane mode. Or if that should be independent of each other. So there are some things where Apple could have just said, hey, there's no time we can think of where you're going to be on an airplane and want to put your watch into airplane mode and not your real phone.
Okay, now you just used a term that I've heard thrown around and I just haven't bothered to look it up. The word is complication. And apparently that's a watch or time or whatever, horography kind of term. How is Apple using that?
So complications in horography are anything that is on a watch face that is not the time. So any watch that you have that has a little date window and the date scrolls, that's a complication. That's actually the most common complication you see. But anything else, if you've got a little stopwatch or a little timer or something like that, those are complications.
Okay, so anything aside from time, instead of calling it a doohickey, they called it, Apple, but the people who are into timepieces called it a complication. All righty.
People, the timepiece people eschew the very technical term doohickey.
I would have called it a doohickey. I think, you know, it's like the doohickey, that thing, you know, the doohickey.
Yeah, geeks would definitely say that.
Yeah.
Maybe older geeks, but anyway.
Yeah. Of which I am one. So
not even your age. I'm saying I'm like geeks in their 90s. You know?
Anyway. How do you know? I always tell people I'm 92. You know, but
okay. I'm sorry. I just blew your cover on your actual age.
All right. Speaking of complications and things on the watch face. So what's the deal? What's the deal with the watch faces themselves?
There are 9 of them.
And that's it, right?
And that's it. If you scroll back, so there were people going, well, there's a new button that we saw randomly come up in one of the demos, and that must mean something. Okay. Yeah, that new button means you can pick another one of the 9 and customize it differently. So if I want to have 2 of the utility watch faces, one with a bunch of different complications on it, and the other a more simpler version, I can set up 2 versions of the same watch face. Now, this is obviously something Apple has to have thought out in the future. They're not going to just say that you need 9 watch faces for your whole life. But this is the one thing I am missing about the Pebble right now, is that I am stuck with just 9 mostly analog watch faces, and I typically favor digital watch faces.
Mm. And they do have a Mickey Mouse analog watch face, right?
Yes, he's got the creepy foot. The creepy foot means that, as Apple and others have pointed out, since Apple Watches are synchronized to Universal Time Server, if you and your friend have Mickey on your wrists, his foot will be tapping the seconds in time, which is kind of creepy. He also looks toward wherever the hour hand is. So if the hour hand's toward the right, he'll look there. If it's toward the left, he'll look
over. Okay, so the creepy foot is kind of like a Apple quantum entanglement kind of thing, right?
It is. But here's another one of those settings that I was actually very surprised Apple lets you change. You can tell Apple that you want a time offset by a certain number of minutes. So if you're one of those people that likes to set their watch ahead by 5 minutes and lie to yourself so that you get places early, you can do that.
I guess some people would want to do that. I mean, I can understand that. Not having customizable or, I don't know what the word is, personally chosen watch faces, that's, you know, even my Spot watch had a selection of more than 9 watch faces, all in grayscale, of course.
Yeah, and I suspect this is definitely something we will see rectified at WWDC next month at the latest.
Yeah.
The other thing is, if you read the manual says, check for updates often, because your watch faces might not be the ones that we show below. So I could imagine that that was a little tie-in to say, hey, we're going to be adding stuff, or maybe we're going to be moving stuff. Maybe some watch faces will
disappear.
Be like limited time offers. If you don't use them, they're gone. I'm not sure what Apple's done crazy things. I wouldn't put it past them.
That would be weird.
Customize it now or it's gone.
Well, and you know, and if people don't remember when the iPhone first came out, it had no apps. So, you know, it couldn't copy and paste. There are a lot of things that it simply didn't do.
For a 1.0 release, and this is, if you look in the about, it's watchOS 1.0. I'm very happy at many of the things Apple did put in.
So, you know, well, it's a year zero kind of thing, not even a year one. It's year zero. Yep. We haven't seen the first year. So I am glad that pioneers like yourself, Dr. Westfall, have taken the time and money to do this and study this so I can benefit from your knowledge and not spend $800 quite yet, since I have to save my $650 on my next phone.
Well, yes, and you also have a daughter in college.
That's right.
You are on a restricted budget until she
graduates. That's right. She's finishing her second year, so I've got a couple of years left, plus graduate school. So lots of fun.
But if you're lucky, she'll go to a program with an assistantship.
One can only hope.
Yes.
One can only hope. Okay, now, how does it actually talk to your iPhone? Is it Bluetooth? Is it Wi-Fi? Is it whatever it has?
It is Bluetooth, and it has not dropped connection. I have not noticed. There's been no time where I've seen it. Where I've gone to the little screen that shows the settings and it says it's not connected and the iPhone's sitting there.
Nice.
So that's a very nice thing, because that was my number one complaint with the Pebble, was that I could never trust the connection. This seems to be much more solid of a connection, probably because Apple has access to all of their special Apple APIs and can integrate it much more deeper than Pebble can. So that was that's a nice thing to see. The communication, so... One of the big complaints that reviewers had moving up to this was that glances, which are little cards that you flip up from the bottom, and the actual apps, which they're not native apps in that they are just displaying something from the phone, the app on your phone. But people were arguing that those were really slow. Now, they are slow in that they are pulling data from your phone, but that being said, I've noticed some move faster than others, which makes me think that this is a bit of a programmer problem as well as an Apple problem. I'm not sure if it's that the lag is that we're seeing, the lags that we see is just because it's underpowered, or if programmers are trying to do too much with what they have to do.
You know, and I think one of the, and again, I'm just guessing, I am not an iOS dev, or, and definitely have not even looked at how you develop apps that talk to the watch. But, you know, as an older guy, who, you know, has used to do stuff in assembler and stuff. You know, I don't think people count CPU cycles anymore. And sometimes you're just using too many darn cycles on a, you know, on a limited resource platform like a watch.
And I agree with that. I haven't looked too much of the dev stuff myself, even though I am an Apple developer and iOS developer. But I plan on looking at it in the near future, especially as we move toward the end of this year when Apple has basically, there's been rumors saying that this is when native apps will come out.
Yeah. And that's an important point to note, right? So there's, maybe you'll explain this a little later, but what goes on the watch? It doesn't have apps that are running on the watch. It's something pushed from the phone to the watch. So how does that work?
So what happens is if your app does have a Apple Watch viewer component to it or mm-hmm. app for it, you will see in the Apple Watch settings on your iPhone, your apps show up in the list of apps that you can toggle on. And then you tap on it, and it will either say install app or install Glance or both.
Hmm.
If you install the app, when you go to the cloud of apps on your phone, on your watch, mm-hmm. you'll see a little icon there for it, and you can access it. If you install just the Glance, it'll be in the Glance cards when you pull those up. If you install both, it is in both places. Whatever you do, once you tap on it, there is a lag where it is pulling data from the phone. Mm-hmm. That takes anywhere, like for example, if I right now, let me pull up Evernote. So I will, let me find it in my little cloud here. I've just tapped on it. It's loading and it's still loading. It's loaded. Okay. So that was about maybe 5 seconds for Evernote. Now some things load a little quicker. The weather I just tapped on and it is loaded now. So that was maybe about 4 seconds for the weather app.
And presumably Evernote is sending a lot more data.
Yes, exactly. And some of these that send littler amounts of data load faster. That's where I said that difference comes in play.
Hmm. Now, in the original iPhone, there was a limit to, 144 apps, I think. Is there a limit to the number of apps on your watch? Or not apps on a watch, but whatever you call it, Glances or whatever.
None that I have seen yet, but I also, since I don't enable a lot of notifications, big surprise, I don't enable a lot of anything. So I haven't seen any limit, and I haven't seen any mention of a limit yet.
Hmm.
But I assume there probably is one. Now, as I kind of put in our show notes, the watch has 8 gigabytes of space internally.
Okay.
About 6 gigabytes is usable to store apps, data, and music.
Why would you want to put music on your watch?
You want to go out walking or running with it and don't want to take your phone.
And how would you listen to it? Do you plug it? Is there like a Bluetooth headset only? Or is there a physical plug? Or
only Bluetooth headset.
Only Bluetooth headset, okay. Which Apple doesn't sell, right?
No, they don't, interestingly enough. So you bring your own headset.
Yeah.
The interesting thing about, so my wife and I went out for a walk this evening, and the first time we were walking kind of around the fitness walk, I said, you know, I'm just going to leave my phone in the car. I'm going to take advantage of this Apple Watch that's supposed to be able to do the, you know, magically everything without the phone.
Right.
And she told me, after she had read some of the documentation, that the first couple times you take it out walking, you should have your iPhone with you to calibrate your walk. And what I found was, sure enough, on a mile walk, it told me I had gone a mile about three-quarters of the mile there. Mm-hmm. And then I went for a jog, and I took the watch and the phone that time, and it was perfect estimation of distance there.
Wow.
So, yeah, if you get one, the first few times that you go for a walk, do take the phone with it so it can calibrate to your stride.
Hmm. Interesting. But it's not one of those things where you tell it how tall you are and all that, like the old pedometers.
You do. You tell it how tall you are, how much you weigh, your gender, and your age.
Hmm. Okay.
Of course, it also tells you it asks you how many calories you want to burn as when you start your workout. So if you're like me and you really have not thought about it in that metric before, you know, I usually think I want to walk a certain number of miles or I want to spend a certain amount of time. But if it's, you know, I guess I want to do 100 calories. You know, it told me that I'd gone way over that when I finished my mile and a half. So,
Okay. Now on to apps.
So some of the apps, as I mentioned a little bit, complications on the watch face actually will tie to certain apps, so that's a nice integration I wasn't expecting. So if you tap on the temperature on your watch screen, it will open up the weather app. If you tap on your calendar appointment, it'll open up the calendar app. So that's kind of a nice feature that I guess I wasn't sure if Apple would build out or not.
Mm-hmm.
I have noticed in the last few weeks that pretty much, I'd say 90% of the apps I care about do have either in the works an Apple Watch app or have one already out. In fact, one that I was just wishing about this morning, going, I wish Authy, which is the client I use for two-factor authentication, I wish they had an Apple Watch app, and then an hour later, their app showed up on my watch.
Nice. And so, in fact, I think there are like several thousand Apple Watch-ready iPhone apps available at launch, right?
Yeah, and I would say that looking at the list of apps on my iPhone, at least half of them already have an Apple Watch component, whether that be a glance or an app. And thankfully, Apple does not install all of them by default. So you can toggle them on as you'd like, which is very good because I wouldn't want them all on there. There are certain apps that I really don't understand who wants them on a smartwatch. So I'm glad that their developers care to make a smartwatch app, but it's not for me.
Yeah. So of the ones that you have tried so far on your watch, which ones do you really, really like and think you're going to use on some regular basis on with Apple Watch?
Well, definitely Authy, as I mentioned, to get two-factor authentication codes, although it does lock out after a while and require you to open it up on your iPhone to unlock the account.
And that sounds reasonable.
Yeah. To-do is my to-do list manager that I just switched to last week, and it has an Apple Watch app. I think I'll be using that. Drafts 4, which is a very popular text input and then output to whatever you want app. They have a Apple Watch app. Workflow, which allows you to do a couple of automation tasks. In fact, my big question was, will I be able to use Workflow to launch my favorite playlist or certain songs and things like that? And that definitely is a doable thing that I was able to do. So it was really freeing to get in my car with my phone in my pocket. It connects up to Bluetooth, and then I can select what music I want either through the watch by just holding up and telling Siri, hey Siri, play this playlist, and that worked really well, or using Workflow with these pre-programmed workflows I have that start playing different music. Evernote has an app. Hooks, which is a newer app that allows you to set up customized notifications for things like new TV shows and other sporting event games and things like that. It's kind of a notification hub. Mint has an app. Shazam has an app. Shazam is actually something I could definitely see as much more useful on a watch than having to pull out your phone and, you know,
that makes sense. Yeah.
And catch the song. Starbucks has an app that allows you to pull your Starbucks card and pay at the register with the watch.
Except, ironically, yesterday when Starbucks cash registers crashed nationwide, and by nation, I should say two nations, Canada and US, and was down for a chunk of yesterday.
Yes, but if I remember right, Starbucks in some stores were giving out free products.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't charge you.
Yeah, well, that was really nice. Of course, that meant you still couldn't use your watch, though.
If they're going to give it to me for free, I don't mind care. If I don't get the if I don't get the points.
Right.
And let's see, Keynote. So Keynote is what I use for my presenting. There's an Apple Watch app for it. I have no idea how often I will use that other than to make it look like I'm magical or something.
Right.
Because I can move slides without using...
Now what would be really cool is if it used accelerometer so you could just wave your hands too.
You know, I haven't played with it yet. For all I know, it does.
I mean, you know, you'd be like Harry Potter, right? You'd wave your hand to the, you know, from right to left, let's say, and your slide would change. That would be very cool.
That would be. It would probably scare my students. Because I would play that up like nothing else.
Do it during an eclipse.
Ooh. And the Apple Remote app comes preloaded. I didn't know about that until the day before I got the watch, but that means I can control my Apple TV from my watch.
Nice.
And also iTunes on any app on any computer that's running on.
Nice.
So those are the apps that I have. There are some apps that I'd really like to see show up. So, for example, Mac ID is an app I use to unlock my computer. It actually kind of works now in that it's got an actionable notification. So if my computer requests to be unlocked, I get a thing on my watch that says authorize, and I can hit that, and it'll open it. But the developer's working on an actual app for your phone or for your watch. Tweetbot that I use for Twitter, I'd like to see an app for that. Facebook must be in the works to have some sort of app. They do not have an app right now. Reader, which is what I use for RSS feeds. AnyList, which is what I use for shopping lists. And the podcasts app. It's curious that there is no Apple podcast app. So
well,
hopefully that will show up soon.
And as you may remember, Apple didn't have a podcast app for the iPhone for a long time. And when it did, it was terrible.
It still is kind of terrible.
Yeah.
And I have thought about switching to a third party podcast app, especially now that there are some that have Apple Watch integration. Yeah. So, but that's the app story. So what other things would you like to know about this thing that I'm sure you will be buying eventually?
Oh, well, don't be too sure about that. I may go with, an Android compatible watch of some kind. I'm still thinking, since I'm going to get a Nexus 6, I may get some kind of Android watch of some sort.
Well, I hope you get a smartwatch soon because...
Well, I'm still mourning the Spotwatch.
Yeah, right? I know, but you've been in mourning for way too long.
Several years now.
The acceptable mourning period for smartwatches is, measured
2 days.
In days or weeks, not in years.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Let's see. I guess that's about it then, John.
Now that I've talked for about 40 straight minutes.
No, really. I mean, initially those are, you answered all the kind of the pertinent questions I have. I'm not even, and including some of the nitpicky questions I had, what glass was on it, that kind of thing. I'm really glad that I had a chance to talk to you or listen to you, really. Listen to what you've seen and thought about this. It's a little bit different from what I've been reading in the early previews, people who've had it a little earlier and were starting right about yesterday, which I thought was a little bit more negative.
It definitely is, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week. I think some tech journalists just never have thought about smartwatches until now and are, quite frankly, they don't want them, so they don't really see why anyone else would. And I also think that some are confused, and if you remember right, smartwatches themselves were confused for a number of years.
Oh, yeah.
We were when we were MVPs, we would see the guys walking around with huge computers strapped to their wrists. And for some people, they still say, hey, a smartwatch should be running a full version of Android and it should be your only device.
Right.
Unfortunately, that takes up your whole wrist.
Right. It should have VGA out too, in my opinion, but anyway.
Yes, VGA out and a floppy disk drive.
That would be good. Yeah, that would be good.
So, it's understandable that some people are, their reviews, at least to me, are reading as, wow, my iPhone can do so much more than this watch. This thing must be a failure. And it's not supposed to replace your iPhone. It's supposed to make it so that you can be like what I'm, thankful I can do now, which is like get in my car with my phone safely stowed away somewhere. And then if I want to change my music on my, radio, or I want to take a call, or I want to use Siri, using Siri through my car was utterly horrible in that my head unit had a lag for about 30 seconds when I try to use Siri. So, by the time Siri beeps after 30 seconds, you've forgotten what you're going to ask Siri. But if you can just raise your watch to your face and say, hey, Siri, blah, 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 and it does it, that's really cool.
Yeah, nice.
So,
yeah, I was just thinking also in terms of how people are kind of categorizing the Apple Watch and other smartwatches. Back in the 1990s, for people who remember way back when Microsoft, you might remember that little company, Microsoft introduced a handheld PC, the HPC. They called it the PC Companion.
Yeah.
It's, although people kept wanting to use it to replace the PC, which was, just ridiculous, despite the fact that the desktop looked a lot like Windows. I think the same thing with the Apple Watch. It is not as you said, it's not an iPhone replacement. It is an iPhone companion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think some of the reviews are negative, and I think they'll be negative until some of the missing pieces kind of come online, once we see native apps and once we see more watch faces, and once real users are playing with it. Like I said, yesterday one of our friends was interested in it, so we went over, had dinner with her, and kind of she played with both of our watches. And it was pretty quick to her that this was something that she had thought she would want and that she did want. So she placed the order kind of right after we left.
It's going to be interesting to say if there – not say. Interesting to see if there's going to be kind of a – not a rebound, but a second bounce in sales after the initial watches are delivered and people essentially like yourselves and your wife act as kind of unpaid evangelists. And people, who were maybe on the fence or didn't really know what it was, see it and go, I can use that.
Well, I will tell you, out of all the people I have mentioned that I was either getting an Apple Watch or that I had an Apple Watch, only one of them has not been interested in knowing more about it.
Interesting.
And everyone else has been kind of saying, oh, well, I'll want to see it when you get it. Or, oh, you'll have it next week. That'll be great. I'll look at it when we have lunch or, you know, something like so.
You know what you should do is you should have them schedule 15-minute appointments with you.
I have a website for that. I could just send them the link that I send my students. That,
there you go. Know,
they, that's actually a service that I've not talked about on here. We should talk about it one week, the free booking service I use.
Okay. Well, you know, you should be like the Apple Store, right? If you want to come see my watch, you have a 15-minute window. Please be on time and, you know, don't touch.
And if you're here for an advising appointment, you know, you can just sit there and wait with the other people who were here to see my watch.
That's right. Right.
Outside my faculty office.
You're not going to discriminate between watch wannabes and students.
Exactly.
It could be some students would want to see the watch too, though. So they could.
I think they will. I've had students look at my Pebble and go, is that a smartwatch? Mm-hmm. And I'll tell them yes. And I'm pretty sure that students will start going, oh, is that an Apple Watch? And I can tell them it is. So.
All righty. Well, thanks, John, so much. This was really interesting for me as somebody. As I said, I'm interested in the Apple Watch, but I'm not planning to buy one. If I do, it'll probably be version 2 next year, next spring.
Well, we shall see. And I know that our friends who we've had on in the past, both Sven and Jack, we should have them on again sometime soon. I think they want to come on and talk about how much better the Microsoft Band is.
At half the price.
Well, yes.
Yeah, it's...
So we'll have a throwdown eventually, maybe after you finally get something smart over there to put on your wrist.
I can strap an iPhone to my wrist, but that it's kind of heavy.
It's good enough.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been Mobile Views Podcast 115, also known as John's Podcast Number 2. where I learned a lot from John about his... How long have you had it now? Like 36 hours?
let's see. We jumped out the door at the UPS guy at about 2:30 Central Time yesterday.
I hope you didn't frighten him.
Well,
where's my watch?
We were very interested to find that my wife's watch took a different path to get to us than my watch.
That is interesting.
And I'm glad that I ordered my watch at 4 minutes past midnight because people who ordered the same one at 5 minutes past did not get their watch yesterday.
Wow, wow.
So, but yeah, we kind of jumped out, saw him at about 2:30. So we've had it now for about 30 hours.
Okay. So you've had like more than a day to look at it. So, you know, you've had a lot of experience.
Yes, I am very well versed to speak on this authoritatively.
Yeah, you can write a book on it now because you've had a whole day and a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
Any case, Mobile Views Pod 1, I can't even talk. I've been so enthralled by your discussion. Mobile Views Podcast 115, John Westfall's Apple Watch initial impressions after a whole 30-some-odd hours. I really found it interesting. Thank you, John. Really appreciate it. Next time we'll try to... Well, we'll figure out what we'll talk about next time. Hopefully Google Fi will become available soon. Maybe I can expound upon that even without becoming a customer yet since I don't actually have a phone to get on it with.
I'm pulling for you. I'm pulling for you to get that invite so that you can give Google money.
Yeah, right. I would like to give Google money. Google, are you listening? NSA, if you're listening, could you tell Google that I'd really like to become a subscriber? Okay, 115. We're done. Thanks all.